Christmas and in the next couple of months, the footy season will start. Thanks for your time this morning, mate.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm Arthur Stevens. The federal government is exploring the creation of safe spaces for adults with mental health issues. The idea is an extension of the Headspace concept that's been launched for youths, which fills the gap between the GP and hospital, according to a report in today's Sunday Telegraph. Australia's football fraternity has called on the government to push for the release of Hakeem Al-Arabi in Thailand and wants Foreign Minister Maurice Payne to travel there to personally try to secure the release of the footballer. The refugee from Bahrain, who has Australian residency and plays football for a Melbourne club, was arrested in Thailand 3 weeks ago because of an Interpol red notice and fears he could be tortured if returned to Bahrain. Former Socceroos captain Craig Foster told the ABC the government has to pressure Thailand to release Hakeem and bring him back to Australia.
We would love to see the minister personally attend to Thailand to advocate for Hakeem's rights. I'm extremely concerned for Hakeem because we have to understand he's become embroiled in something of a political web, if you like, and a life is at stake here.
A man believed to be in his 20s has been taken to Royal Perth Hospital after being hit by a car at Scarborough in Perth's north last night. The crash happened at the corner of Stanley Street and Sunstone Lane around 8, with paramedics taking him to Royal Perth Hospital in a critical condition. An 18-year-old Queensland man has been charged with attempted murder after a police officer was injured following an attempted traffic stop. It happened when the officer got out of his own car and called on the man to pull over early yesterday at Yarrabilba in the Gold Coast hinterland. It's alleged he instead drove at the officer and hit his leg. The 37-year-old constable was taken to Logan Hospital while the car was found nearby and the alleged driver taken into custody. He's been charged, remanded and will appear in Southport Magistrates Court tomorrow. London's Gatwick Airport is taking strides towards running a full schedule of flights following days of major disruptions because of drone sightings that led to two arrests. The sudden halt to operations this week led to the cancellation or diversion of about 1,000 flights and affected about 140,000 people trying to travel ahead of the Christmas holiday. Britain's Transport Secretary, Chris Grayling, says authorities are doing all they can to keep planes flying out of Gatwick.
There is no single simple solution off the shelf deliverable very quickly. We've had to assemble a variety of different measures around that airport to make sure it's safe.
In health news, eligible Australians living with a common form of kidney disease will have access to a new treatment option on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. The genetic condition, known as ADPKD, affects around 10,000 Australians and can lead to painful cysts on the kidneys and other serious health problems. Chair of Kidney Health Australia, Professor Carol Pollock, says the PBS listing for GINARC is welcome news for patients and their families.
Well, kidney failure affects every facet of your life. So given that people will end up with kidney failure between the ages of 40 and 60, it is really when your productivity is at its peak and your family interactions are very important. So delaying that actually means that your life is much more productive in very many facets.
This is Air News. Football and John Aloisi admits he's a man under pressure but won't hear talk that his Brisbane Roar players' advancing years is their biggest frailty in the A-League. Aloisi wants his players to take their minds off a four-match losing streak yesterday, going down 4-1 to the Phoenix, try to enjoy Christmas and emerge fighting fit for next week's trip to Sydney FC. In the other result overnight, Melbourne victory, Melbourne City fought out a 1-1 draw. In cricket, opener Evan Lewis has blazed 89 off just 36 balls to set up the West Indies' 50-run victory over Bangladesh in Mirpur. The 26-year-old smashed 8 sixes and 6 fours as the tourist raced to 2 for 122 off 9.1 overs, but when he departed, the run rate subsided significantly, with Nicholas Puran with 29 and Robin Powell with 19, the only other players to make double figures. Windies were bowled out in the final over for 190, well below what they would have expected at the halfway stage, but it still proved too much for Bangladesh. To racing, and Chris Waller's decision to give Sir Bacchus a change of scenery at Warwick Farms paid dividends. Waller operates a small stable at Warwick Farm as well as his Rose Hill complex and sent Sir Bacchus to the more relaxed atmosphere after his disappointing performance 2 weeks ago. After a slashing third at Rose Hill on November 24, Sir Bacchus beat just one runner home at his next start. He returned to his best yesterday at Warwick Farm in the December handicap over 1,400 metres, winding up in the straight to beat favourite Spectroscope by a long neck with the Nunavut Kanaki, who held on well after leading. Australian Independent Radio News.
Mum, you know that look on someone's face when they unwrap a Christmas gift?
Like when you gave me a pea fridge?
No, not that look.
Oh, you mean the look of happiness?
Yes, and there's so many gift ideas to make people happy at Bingley.
Like a beautiful Breville coffee machine.
Or the Philips Air Fryer XXL. It removes fat and keeps food crunchy.
Or the latest VS digital sensor, hot air styler.
Or a Bingley gift card. That's another way to unwrap the perfect Christmas gift.
Unwrap Christmas at Bingley.
What's wrong with a beer fridge?
Inglis, the only auction house to sell a two-year-old Group 1 winner in Australia this year. Esterjav in the Golden Slipper.
Esterjav hanging on from a hood and Esterjav.
Written by in the Blue Diamond.
But it's written by for Jordan Childs. What a victory.
Seabrook in the Champagne Stakes.
And Seabrook goes on to win it.
And the Autumn Sun in the JJ Atkins.
The Autumn Sun.
Where will the smart buyers be in 2019? Inglis.com.au.
It's Rashford, and it's the perfect start for the caretaker boss. His team in front on his bow in double quick time.
Yes!
He's got that backward on. He's at the benefit of the boundary as well. Sanger goes to 50 on debut. There's 30 deliveries. Well played, young man.
Carr with a header, and she's done it again. Sam Kerr, Rachel Hill, what a combination. The cross from the American.
The second, and De Silva will put it in the back of the net and cap it off for Sydney FC. And putting it, you would think, beyond doubt.
Oh, that's hit hard. That's out of there. It'll be the third six of the innings. Right off the last ball, Jordan Silk take a bow. A wonderful innings. 56 off the last five overs.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. I know we are. Technically, we are on fire right now because everything is A-OK. It is
2 days out.
The Sunday before Christmas. Mm. That's right. Yeah, we're all excited about that. We've got a little bit of a something different for the listeners this morning. Which we'll launch into very shortly, but it's providing our talk topic for today, and we know how excited we get about those. nearly as excited about as excited as we get for the show itself.
Mm.
Dare I say it's a massive program coming up, right?
Who have we got on today, James?
We have Joe Cleary. Didn't turn up at the races. He sent his stable representative.
No, he said yesterday morning, I sent my stable apprentice up, and I said, who's that? Franco, it's his dad.
So he sent Frank.
Got a bit of a decent record, Frank Cleary.
Sent Frank to the races, and well done. Girls are ready, and the filly will be ready for the Magic Millions, which is exciting. Did you see the list of owners? So they will be going for the women's bonus, the racing women's bonus. $500,000 in total, $325,000 to the first all-female owned or leased horse across the line.
To finish here.
Yeah, not a bad one, is it, in the two-year-old race? Gary Portelli, good friend of the program, finally got a winner, so we'll get him on. Now, he's had a couple over the last few days. He had a tough start to December.
Hey?
Gary.
Tough start to December?
Yeah. Couldn't get a winner.
Won the first win. Gee, you're hard, man. You're back-to-back winners the last 2 days.
That's right, and that's why we got him on.
Okay.
So we'll look forward to speaking to Gary about
that. You keep saying these things. These trainers jockeys will never come on.
Let me assure you, Roman, given your good relationship with them and they keep winning races, they'll keep turning up.
Oh, well, I hope so, anyway. Who else?
It's a massive ad for themselves. You realise that?
You keep espousing that, so I'll go along with it.
Zorba will be on to give us his thoughts on the world of rugby league. It never stops. There's so much going on during the course of the week. We'll speak Shane Finnegan and Justin Pascoe very shortly. Jenny Graham will be on as awesome pluck.
Aren't her horses going well? They're dominating up in Brisbane.
Victorian won last week. This week it was awesome pluck.
Week before Victorian was awesome pluck. So 3 Saturdays in a row she sent her top 4-year-olds up from Port Macquarie to Brisbane and won.
And I think they're setting awesome pluck for the country championships, which we'll speak to Jenny about as well. Event Cinemas quiz, score update.
I've forgotten. But what's the score, quickly?
Oh, 30 to 19. Okay. So the 13 plus is still on.
Massive news, James.
What is the massive news, right?
in my vehicle, there is a said three cartons, which I did promise would be given to you before Christmas, and I will come through in the crunch. You can have the said cargo as soon as we get off here.
I'll look forward to it. Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'm as surprised as anyone. Don't worry.
You think I'd let you down?
Never, Roman. Event Cinemas quiz, so that'll be on as well. We'll get an NBL and an NBA update with Brad Rosen, of course. Big game today, isn't it?
Go the Kings, are on top.
250 is tip-off for that one against Melbourne United. Our legend of the game is Lindsay May. Now, for those people who don't know who Lindsay May is, he's a three-time winner of the Rolex Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race.
That's remarkable in itself, but his longevity.
46th straight Rolex Sydney to Melbourne, Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race.
Just think, that means he spent, I dare say, every Christmas day for the last 46 years at the yacht club getting ready for Sydney to Hobart on
Boxing Day. Lindsay has a family, but anyway, we might ask him about that.
Maybe. But he's a legend of his sport and three-time winner, and I think he's skippering the oldest boat in the fleet on Boxing Day, and that's Kealoha.
Kealoha
which,
2.
Which was the 71 winner, would you believe?
And his first race, 1973.
Extraordinary.
So there you go. We'll have a chat with Lindsay Mo. Looking forward to that. Something a little bit different. We'll speak nothing different about A-League with Phil Moss, but anyway, what is different is the result for Manchester United fans, and of course, big win for them, 5-1 against Cardiff. It's only Cardiff, but 5-1 is very important. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. We'll speak to Trent Lenscale and, of course, Scotty Foster. And, of course, take your calls, 1353 53 on the open line number. So, lots to get through over the course of this week. Steve Smith came out, had his first press conference on Friday. Thoughts?
Yeah, what did you make of that? I'm a Steve Smith fan, so I might be looking at it through rose-coloured glasses, but you might have a different take on it, I think.
I thought he threw a few people under the bus.
I'll
tell you what, in this way. There was my failure with leadership was that there was something going on and I walked past it. I allowed it to happen. So basically what he was saying was, oh, those people over there were doing something wrong. I wasn't, but I let it happen.
But but he's also admitting fault in that he should have stopped it and he didn't. So he's still admitting his own guilt.
As he should.
And taking blame for that.
As he should.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not just what happened there, but...
So your point is he's saying other people were doing it, not him.
Well, in reality, he's saying, yeah, there was some really bad stuff going on over there, and I didn't do anything about it. Hang on. One in, all in. We did bad stuff in the Australian dressing room. That was my concern about it. The ad, I thought, it was interesting. The Vodafone put the ad out. I first saw the ad and I went, wow, this guy's banned for another 3 months and he's appearing in a commercial.
I've got no issue with that, you know. I know a lot of people have, but am I looking this through rose-coloured glasses? I've got no issue with
that. Well, it depends how you think about Steve Smith.
I think he's a person who's widely admired.
I agree.
People have understood that he's made a bad mistake.
I agree.
Paid an extraordinary tough penalty for it, given that there's been precedent set around the world with much less of a penalties appropriated to those persons.
I think we've all said that always on this program. We said it from day one on this program, didn't we?
The timing of the... You've got an issue with the timing.
No,
of the,
I don't have an issue with the... I actually think out. Really interesting that they did it.
Yeah.
I think they sniffed the breeze.
He's
and
popular,
said exactly.
Why?
And they said, you know what? There is widespread sympathy
correct
out there for Steve Smith.
Yep, and people
and
want
we're going to tap
in.
We're going to tap into that first.
That's something I've got no issue with. I reckon it's great. And I think people look at Steve Smith and think, you know, he's a decent bloke.
Yep.
And everyone, I think, when the moment he walked back in the Australian Test team, gets that baggy green, that day when he walked out to bat, won't that be a moment?
Will he ever captain Australia again? In your mind?
People are saying no. People are saying Tim Payne's got the job for some years. I don't know about that. Apparently, is there a 12-month ban on Steve Smith regaining the captaincy once he returns?
No.
I've heard that discussed in the last few days, and whether that's an unofficial thing that's been posed, I don't know. Maybe that's probably not a bad thing, but. I hope he does return to the Australian captaincy because I think he's paid a hefty penalty for what happened in South Africa.
I have no doubt that in the future he will captain Australia some way, shape or form. 1353-53, if your thoughts on that. Okay, during the course of the week, the National Rugby League banned Shane Flanagan indefinitely. We spoke about this last week. We felt that it was coming. It did arrive. Justin Pascoe was the surprise
one.
Yeah,
that came out of left field, didn't it?
It did. But the more you read about it, the more understanding you have of it. The lack of cooperation from the West Tigers, I think, is significant. And the NRL Integrity Unit take their time over these issues and rarely, if ever, get it wrong.
Mm. And what's your take on the Flanagan situation, and what are you hearing about a replacement coach?
Well, I think the fact that there were over 50 emails sent just days after being handed a suspension is damning.
There's a certain arrogance there, isn't there? You know?
Arrogance slash stupidity slash, you know, I'm not in breach here. Mm. You know, my point was, if you were going to do that, don't commit it to email. Don't commit it to email. The question around, have the Sharks done the right thing? This is their premiership winning coach. Mm. And because they gave up their servers for an anomaly with the salary cap, this now has gone all the way back to 2014, and they've lost their premiership winning coach. So you just wonder whether Barry Russell did the right thing. He's been lauded by the NRL, and understandably so. But Sharks fans, I'd be interested to see your thoughts on whether you think they did the right thing. 13:53:53. The replacement, Jim Dimmick, gets a mention in the Sunday papers today. There's all those names. Trent Barrett's name is still there. I think from a commercial point of view, I still think a Jim Dimmick, John Morris, because they're both there, and even Brett Camorley,
yes,
involved in some way, shape or form. It's not a huge imposition from a cost point of view. If there's one thing the Sharks need to do over the next couple of years, and that's save money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those three, in some way, shape or form,
yep,
will be their coaching staff.
Jeez, it's been an off-season for rugby league, hasn't it? Wow, it's just been horrific. Positive news, the Perth test. How good was that? Crash Craddock, I was watching post the final day after Australia's win in Perth.
Yes.
And Crash was on that 360 show they have after each day's play,
yes,
on Fox. He said something there resonated with me. He said, finally, the Australian sporting public have a cricket team they can be proud of and to cheer for. And I thought, you know what? He summed it up really well, because to see him win that test match and to see the relief on those players' faces and what they did, you watch them go around afterwards signing autographs and selfies with the crowd, etc.
Yep.
The Australian public have taken this team on board. Now, we go to Melbourne with the series locked at 1-1. So even though India have the trophy, the series is alive coming to Sydney, regardless of the result of Melbourne, in terms of a potential drawn series,
yep,
and or winning series. So it's exciting. I can't wait for Melbourne. I hope the pitch is good. What did you think of the Perth pitch? Because the ICC have come out and labelled it at the lower end of being a decent pitch. I'm staggered by that.
You wonder what the criteria are from the ICC. Well, I saw Mitchell Johnson's tweet about it, just saying, there's nothing wrong with it.
It was a test of bat and ball.
Yes.
Of course the pitch deteriorated going into the fifth day. You expect that.
Yes.
But if you went into the fifth day, if India had a decent tail, it might have gone into a second session.
Yes.
So I can't... And it produced some enthralling, compelling cricket. Each session was great to watch.
You just wonder whether the BCCI had something to do with that. Like, seriously.
Good point. They want roads.
Whether Virat Kohli said to Tim Payne, I'm the best batsman in the world and you're a stand-in skipper.
Mm.
If he said it, fair enough. It's probably not wrong. And if he didn't say it, oh well. But the media outlets came out and retracted that statement after being pressured by the BCCI.
Extraordinary.
Like, what? Like, that is just kowtowing to your financial master, isn't it? And I know we all do it a little bit, but I'll tell you what, that's very obvious, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, didn't Tim Payne have a couple of good retorts during that test match? I reckon the best one was, you got to bat again, big head, to Virat Kohli. I think that was fantastic, because he was right, and he put a little scene of doubt in Virat Kohli's mind. Hang on, this pitch is playing up a bit. We got a bat last year.
And the rise and rise of Nathan Lyon continues unabated. He's now been compared to Shane Warne. Warne's just said, oh, he'll go past me for test wickets.
Wow.
Not sure about that. But
how old's Nathan Lyon now?
He's 31.
31. So
yeah.
He could really, being an off-spin, he could really play another 5 or 6 years at a very high level.
Yes.
Minimum.
Yes. And the thing about off-spinners, they get better with age like that.
He's getting better.
No doubt about it. He's getting better. 13:53:53, the open line number. Just before we go to our first break, what we have today is Festivus, Ray. It's the 23rd of December. Do you know what Festivus is?
Seinfeld, one of the greats.
Festivus is a secular holiday, Ray, celebrated on December 23 as an alternative to the pressures and commercialism of the Christmas season. The non-commercial holiday celebration includes a Festivus dinner, an unadorned aluminium Festivus pole, practices such as the airing of grievances and feats of strength, and the labelling of easily explained events such as Festivus miracles. Okay?
Love it. We just haven't got an aluminium pole. But
no, we haven't got an aluminium pole. But that, what we do have
that
is...
That brings us to our talk topic.
We do have this.
Welcome, newcomers. The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
This could open up a Pandora's box with you.
That's Mr. Costanza, who in many ways speaks for me on so many levels.
I can hear you say, I got a lot of problems with you, Ray Donovan.
Now you're going to hear about him. Okay, we are asking our callers this morning for a chance to win a Wings book signed by Ray Thomas and a carton of Wingman beer.
That's it.
Courtesy of our great friends at Wingman. And this is your airing of grievances from 2018. From a sporting point of view, your airing of your grievances. Raymond, over to you.
Mine's been going for a long time. About 2018. Carlton hashtag rebuilding. I'm so sick of that phrase. I'm so sick of going to a new season full of promise and coming near last.
How many good players breaking their backs at training?
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Okay, when did it actually start, the rebuild?
About
95, they won the comp. 96.
No, they made a grand final in 99, probably about 2001.
2001.
Bought Chris Judd. Yes. Helped for about one or two seasons. Got us into the top eight.
Good for Juddy.
Yeah. Exited first week of the finals. But yeah, essentially, we've been hashtag rebuilding for...
Okay. So your grievance is the...
Carlton recruitment process.
Okay. Stephen Silvani. Please call Stephen Silvani about that one. I think, what was her name? Caroline Wilson spoke to him about that.
I know, yeah. Went over well, didn't it?
13,
what's your airing grievances, James?
I've
apart from
say,
me.
And it pains me to say it, but it has dominated headlines for, unfortunately, for quite a lot of this off-season, and that is player behaviour.
Oh.
Player behaviour.
NRL player behaviour.
And I'm the biggest advocate for the players. I really am. And, I think there's good people get caught up in situations, and to be honest, we've all been there.
Mm.
But that was then, and this is now. And that's the thing that they have to be aware of. And, I'm concerned, I get worried about when they start saying, oh, I'll bring the game into disrepute. Well, a lot of those things are beyond your control.
Yeah.
But those things that are under your control is the way you behave in a social setting, in a public setting. 99% are outstanding. 99%.
Correct. There's bad apples everywhere. But have you seen a protracted period of the off-season with so many issues happening in rugby league like we've seen in the last two or three months?
Well, I think what's significant about it is that there's the one issue, and that is behaviour towards women that has been so concentrated over that month-long period, and that has been the thing that has resonated with me.
And
so
you know what? There's no excuse for it either. So...
And all of this prefaced by a presumption of innocence. All of this prefaced by a presumption of innocence. 1353, your airing of your grievances. Hopefully you don't get dragged down into some negative territory.
I avoided one there. I thought I was going to go for sure.
It's only early. 1353 is the open line number. 23 minutes past 7 on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Start your Christmas celebrations at Bottlemart. Grab a 700ml bottle of Grant Scotch Whiskey for just $35.99. Grant Scotch Whiskey. Triple wood, triple good. Enjoy responsibly. Catalogue out now. Start your Christmas celebrations at Bottlemart.
Punters, we bet you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The Autumn Sun. The Autumn Sun stretches and wins. The Autumn Sun ahead for Zusein.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the show with Jim and Ray. 7:24 on your Sunday morning on this Festivus morning, airing of grievances. Should see what happened in the ad break. Hey, James, a couple of people have chimed in here.
Yes.
And this is the issue. It so polarises people. This is Jason from Windsor. Cannot disagree with you both more, boys. I'm yet to come across the widespread sympathy you support. This is for Steve Smith.
Yep.
And it will be a sad day if he ever captains Australia again. He has lost all respect as a leader on any level. I will give up on the game if Smith is put back in a leadership role. It's from Jason from Windsor and our good friend Don from Carlton. Tim Payne has poise, intelligence and strength. He is a leader. Steve Smith is an immature little boy who is ill-equipped to lead. It's such a polarising issue, isn't it?
The thing about it is, I agree with that around Tim Payne. However, the thing that, English sides have done it, but Australian sides characterise themselves. You pick the best 11 players, then you find a captain.
Whereas best player.
They might find a captain. And then pick 10 other players.
Your best player is your captain, yeah.
Well, not necessarily your best player, but a player that's certainly going to be in the side. Tim Payne will struggle to stay in the side. Alex Carey is a standout player.
Mm.
Tim Payne will... His glove work's been excellent. He did have a very important innings in that second innings there for Australia. But he's getting on. He'll be under pressure from Carey very shortly. 13:53.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Very shortly. The Ashes tour at the very least.
Yeah, within 12 months. Next Australian summer, he's under pressure.
I think when Steve Smith is back and back playing well and back in the test team, and if his form warrants it, potentially I think he can regain the captaincy. Then maybe Tim Payne's position's under a bit of doubt. But I think for now, he's rock solid. Race replays. I know this is your favourite time of the show. I thought that would be a top of your airing of grievances straight away.
It's a good point, Ray. I'm going to write that down.
Warwick Farm, yes. So I enjoyed a rare Saturday in Sydney meeting at Warwick Farm. Opened the day with a two-year-old event. Girls are ready. Raced into the Magic Millions.
3:50 to run. AC Vinco under plenty of pressure. Girls are ready. He's really turning it up on the outside. Girls are ready. Gets a head in front to AC Vinco. They're well clear from Zebra Kate. Forget about the Turge, but girls are ready. A half in front to AC Vinco. Then Zebra Kate closing off. Girls are ready though. Pulling away the last 50 metres. Girls are ready. Goes on to win it. Zebra Kate second. Photo third. AC.
So Girls Are Ready is going to be a player now in the two-year-old Magic Millions race. That's January 12. Unite and Conquer, the $4.50 favourite. Girls Are Ready is a $26 trimmed in from $51 on the back of that performance yesterday.
Yep, Unite and Conquer in Sar Sun, the two unbeaten Gay Waterhouse Agent Bot Train youngsters trial Thursday, Jim, then goes straight into the Magic Millions. So watch out for those trials Thursday. Team Hawks having a great run. This is another very promising horse. His name is Heart Conquered.
But at the top of the straight, and Heart Conquered travels well in the lead. It beat off Lucy Rose and Rivenier running on, but down to the 200, and Heart Conquered is really hitting the accelerator now. Put four lengths on Rivenier, then Ghostly right down the outside, but the Akib Mafeed three-year-old does it again. Heart Conquered led all the way. Second goes to either Rivenier or Ghostly. Pretty tight for second.
In the end, played about $2, Heart Conquered, but one with a leg in the air.
Go, you good thing.
Do you back it?
I did. Yeah,
well done.
Yeah.
So did I.
Very good thing.
Yeah.
We always talk about Warwick Farm horses at Warwick Farm.
Don't we?
Seriously, there's a lot to this. And Warwick Farm trainers had a good day yesterday. Monsieur Sisu for Paul Cave.
Yes.
Nicky's Gold for Gary Portelli and Easy Eddie for Joe Pride, name a few. Here's Nicky's Gold coming from last.
From Stroman, Nicky's Gold, the last one. The Art of the Bar, first try at 1,400 metres and establishes a healthy lead coming around the corner. From Bella Success, Bella Cheetah, Madison Avenue's had enough. Then came Lucky Louie. Nicky's Gold gets going around the outside and Strome's taking an inside run. The Art of the Bar, two lengths clear at the 200 metres. Nicky's Gold is winding up on the outside and Strome up the inside. Nicky's Gold is powering home on the outside. Nicky's Gold went straight past the favourite, and it's her day today. Nicky's Gold goes on to beat the Art of the Bar. Third, not sure here. Lucky.
Back-to-back winners there for Jason Collett. Gary Portelli will have on the program very shortly. Yeah, Nicky's Gold, what's...
Just take her through the classes. You know,
okay.
This is her time of year, and, you know, she's heading towards stakes level. She's not far off now, so she's an improving mare.
There was talk about Bell of the Turf.
Possibly, yeah. We'll ask Gary about that.
So the Art of the Bar is in that three-year-old race at the Magic Millions. Outback Barbie is the favourite at $4.50. The Art of the Bar is a $15 chance. Bondi and Native Soldier equal second in the market at $8.
Sir Bacchus, popular grey horse, back to his best in race 7. Jimmy's very happy.
Top of the straight, Kanachi swings in front. Sir Plush has got the rails run. Then Test the World, Catesby and Pecans. It's Kanachi still in front, 200 metres out. Sir Bacchus starting to wind up. Right down the outside of Spectroscope. It's Kanachi, Sir Bacchus and Spectroscope. Sir Bacchus in the centre. He does it today. Sir Bacchus goes on to win it from Spectroscope. Kanachi third.
All over the place, Sir Bacchus. So Chris Wallace said, right, we'll put him in new surrounds.
Seen from Rosehill to Warwick Farm.
Sent him to Warwick Farm, just a bit quieter, quieting the horse down, and the performance reflected that. His performance last start was horrible.
Second up, these things happen, but Warwick Farm has got that rural feel, hasn't it? Like even yesterday, you're sitting there, I love the ambience of Warwick Farm, and horses must sense that as well. There's a lot of rural areas they can walk around, have day yards and stuff, and just a change of environment from Rose, like a little holiday. It's true, James. It's all
I
understand. Mental approach.
I agree.
A couple of you're looking at me like I'm. You should be in a good mood. We're 2 days out for Christmas.
Is it? I'm not.
I can see a look in your eye. Two interstate races. I just want to highlight. Awesome pluck. Jenny Graham just keeps sending these good 4-year-olds to Brisbane. They keep winning. This was a fantastic ride from Damien Brown.
Snoopy, Marvelous Day for Sarah. Awesome Plucker, still got 5 lengths to make up. My Girl Harley joined out wide by Bold Zabby, has taken over now. Adora Dancer, Basara down the outside. Snoopy driving through. And Awesome Plucker's coming through late. That stretch across the track. Basara out wide. My Girl Harley is Snoopy, Awesome Pluck. Snoopy, Awesome Pluck, Basara. They hit the line. Awesome Plucker. Awesome Pluck gets up the win from either Snoopy or Basara.
We're going to speak to Jenny Graham about Awesome Pluck. He got sick last year just on the eve of the country championship, so missed out on that one. Victorian won. Awesome Pluck, though, did come back and have a third in the Kosciuszko. So
very good horse, as is Victorian. They're flying at the moment, aren't they?
So Jenny Graham has got a stable well and truly in form.
Exactly. And just one quick one. Jimmy, over in Perth last night, Galaxy Star, the stablemate of Arcadia Queen, a Group 1 winner herself, wins the Van Eepst Stakes. Will she run in the Perth Cup? We'll wait and see, but she continues a great run for owner-breeder Bob Peters.
Gadding down on the inside, a half a length in front from Perfect Jewel, 2 lengths behind them, Galaxy Star. Pike is really having to stoke her up. Further back, Dark Musket, Perfect Jewel, Gadding. They're having a two-horse war, but now the favourite starts to get warm. 150 left to go. Gadding regained the lead on the outside, though. Galaxy Star levels up. She grabs him now. She puts pay to him, and she draws away. Comes on to win it again, Galaxy Star from Gadding. Perfect Jewel, third from...
There we go.
Potentially Perth Cup, so we'll wait and see.
All right, there we go. They're done? That's it? Okay, we're going to have to air that grievance now. 1353 is the open line number. Just before we get to callers, Jimmy and Ray, a couple of clarifications. Re Steve Smith, you can't compare the penalties to other ball tampering incidents because the Australian players initially tried to cover up with the umpires and then in the media conference. Having said that, I agree that the penalties were very harsh. Two, the Cricket Australia statement in March said Steve Smith and Cameron Bancroft will not be considered for team leadership positions until a minimum of 12 months after the conclusion of their suspensions from international and domestic cricket. That's from Tom. P.S. Steve Smith scored 112 not for Sutherland yesterday, taking him to 4,034 first-grade runs and an average of 51.06. He's the eighth player in Sydney first-grade history to score over 4,000 runs at an average of over 51.
That bottom line is he's a great batsman.
He's an outstanding player, no doubt about that. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's go to callers. Joe is on the line. G'day, Joe.
How you going? Good morning.
Morning, Joe.
I just want to speak about this thing with the ball tampering. It's an absolute disgrace. The way those guys were treated, it's just way over the top, way over and above. You know, come the time that an Indian gets caught ball tampering, we know what'll happen there. Mm. Probably nothing. I just think it's a disgrace. I reckon nearly every game of cricket that's ever been played, any grade, even junior cricket, coaches, whatever, have tried some sort of...
A little edge.
You know, work on the ball. Yeah. I mean, it's not as if it's not been happening. Some people get caught, some don't. I reckon even sandpaper would have even been used before, but people get away with it. But all at the end of the day, all they were trying to do was win a game of cricket. I mean, And then again, Faf du Plessis, was that him?
Yeah.
He fought twice, and what did he get? One game ban or some bloody
thing? Yep.
I mean, the whole thing is just way over and above. You get ball tampering, you know, whether it's throwing the ball back, you know, to the bowler into the pitch or accidentally scuffing it with your boot or...
Accidentally scuffing it with your boot, but...
It's, again, issue polarises people, doesn't it? It's black and white for people, isn't it?
Do you want to disclose anything here?
Pink zinc cream.
Pink zinc cream? Seriously.
I used to field in point or covers, and I had a few fast bowlers, used to wear the old pink zinc.
Well,
I used to put it on my finger and often run the ball up with a big blob of zinc cream on the ball.
So you're changing the condition of the ball. Correct. Now, sandpaper is next level, no doubt about that, but things have been done over the course of the history of the game. And doesn't make them right, but what it means is the fact that you've banned these guys for a year so more harshly than other people who've been found guilty of the same crime.
What Tom said, though, is a very, very good point. The initial attempt to cover it up and then explain the truth at the media conference. But they were ambushed at the media conference, weren't they? So they shouldn't have gone there. They should have waited until...
We all know that. But who... We haven't been privy to what's been said by captains or perpetrators during the course of their interviews with the ICC in relation to their own ball team. You can't tell me that they didn't try to cover it up then.
Of course.
Exactly.
Good point.
So, 1353-53, Adam's on the line. G'day, Adam.
Morning, guys. How are you going? Merry Christmas for this next week.
And the same to you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Best, you and your family.
My grievance. I'll try and make it a little bit lighthearted, but the refs, the easy targets, the referees.
Mm.
Remember back at the beginning of the year, we were getting more penalties than points in games. I remember watching a Melbourne Sharks game there where I think there was 40-something penalties.
Yes.
But I'm pretty optimistic for next year. I'm just hoping that we can move forward. I think now that Bernard Sutton's going to take over, hopefully it can move forward. But sitting there watching those first 11 rounds and all those penalties and then the refs disappeared and then they came back and then they disappeared for Origin. Let's just hope that we don't get that again next year. So,
good on you, Adam. Yeah, there's a positive tinge to your grievance there. Mm. So you've set a new benchmark.
He's in Christmas mode.
Yeah, that's right. As a result of that, Adam gets a double asterisk next to his name. So good work. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break, and after the break we'll be back with more, including Joe Cleary.
Hi, Simon Harrison with you. I'd like to take this chance to wish you and your family all the very best for Christmas and a successful new year and many winners to come. Stay close to our TAB market movers.
From all of us here at Sky Sports Radio, have a Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Lionel Lee. I'd like to explain why not having any idea what to give someone for Christmas is a brilliant idea. Because you can give them a Bingley gift card. So instead of choosing between a coffee machine, a Bluetooth speaker, a drone, a Fitbit, or hundreds of other gift ideas at Bingley, they choose. They'll be happy, you'll be happy, my mum will be happy. Bingley gift cards can be $50, $100, $200 or $500. And you can buy them online or in-store. Your brilliant gift idea from Bingley.
The catalogue for a bigger, better Inglis Classic yearling sale is out now. Extended to more than 1,000 horses with 5 days of selling at Riverside Stables, February 9, 10, 11, 12 and 14, 2019. Catalogue available at inglis.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
The wind's whipping down the boardwalk.
At his best.
Oh,
hey.
Superstar.
He is very, very good. Hey, I tell you what, Jim, this issue polarises people. And here we've got Adam on the line. He wants to chime in at Steve Smith. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Terrific, mate. What do you got
for us?
Mind
the noise in the background. You might hear the waves cracking, James. Beautiful day down here at the south coast of Wollongong.
Fantastic, Adam.
Counting all these $100 notes from yesterday, thanks to the king of Queanbeyan, Joseph Cleary.
Your back girls are ready. Well done, mate.
$15 Wednesday, take deductions, I'll get $12. Not big nothing at all, but the king knows what he's doing, put it that way.
Good
getting interviewed later, I hear.
Yeah, well, have mine very shortly, hopefully.
Yeah, great man, Joseph. Say, Franco done a good job with the horse yesterday, Sue up there.
It's good to see Frank and
the king.
Yeah, Frank and Sue were there, yes, so it's great to see them. So,
Sue's in the ownership, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
Well. Lucky charm, Sue. She's the brains behind the operation. Don't let Frank and Joe fool you.
She's the glue,
often
for
the
sure.
Case, often the case, Adam.
That's correct, James. How are you, James?
Very well.
We'll have a good Christmas to you all. It's been a great year. It's even better after yesterday, let me tell you.
Well done. Now, you've got a difference of opinion on Steve Smith.
I agree with it. I don't even know what I'm agreeing on. I missed that bit. I only rang up to talk about Joe, to be honest. Let's run it past me real quick, James. I'm just watching the beat.
Yeah, that's all right. We just thought it was very harsh on Steve Smith.
It was harsh. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Well, okay. There we go.
We turned him around. Good on you, Adam. Enjoy the South Coast. Wish we were there.
The waves rolling in there.
Anyway.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We mentioned earlier, Jim, about Warwick Farm horses at Warwick Farm.
Yes.
I reckon there's something to it. And I don't know whether trainers believe it's the case whether that home track advantage works not, but we'll ask one of the winning trainers yesterday from his home base of Warwick Farm, Gary Portelli. He had a winner with Nicky's Gold. He's been good enough to join us on Christmas Eve. Good morning, Gary. And is there something to that Warwick Farm home track advantage?
I think if you look at the statistics from Warwick Farm full stop, a lot of winners do come out of place, really. It's just that we don't race here often enough to give ourselves a bit of an advantage, really.
Yeah,
we've got to travel all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's the thing, too, is people don't put into the trip. What it takes out of horses travelling through that tunnel into the Randwick and whatever, on a hot day, and about time we had some meetings here. It's a great meeting yesterday.
Funny you say that, Gary, because I'm a bit of an advocate for Warwick Farm, always have been. I like the track. But I asked Tommy Berry, for example, and I know Tommy grew up at Warwick Farm, and he said more Sydney Saturday racing at Warwick Farm. It can work, particularly during this period of the year.
Well, I think what happens, mate, is that people are, if they know there's a meeting on, it's on every, say, third Saturday or something like that, Warwick Farm, you'll get an area out here. Southwestern Sydney is massive now. Mm-hmm. If they knew there's a meeting there every 3 weeks or every 4 weeks at Warwick Farm and they can get themselves sorted, they'll turn up.
Yeah. Mm.
But no one knows when they're on. That's the problem. And we have them quite sporadically. When no one turns up to say, see, it doesn't work.
Mm.
But, if you plan it and people, they turn up every 3 or 4 weeks, they'll be here every week. And there's a lot of people out here we're not catering to. But, it was a great day yesterday. It was a good weather. It was good to see a lot of old faces going back to races that don't usually go from out this way,
That's true. Mm.
I thought that the race meeting went well. I thought most of the favourites, we're in the money and the track played really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you knew it was on, Gary. Nicky's Gold knew it was on. Tell you what, she doesn't mind getting out the back, although that's not her regular race pattern, is it? She sort of tends to do whatever the race, whatever she needs to do.
And I think that the combination with Jason Collett's a massive thing with her too, because he just knows where to get her comfortable, and if the pace is strong or he's out the back, trying to get on a loose rein, getting a breathing and relaxing, because she has got a habit of overdoing things.
Yep.
She's quite an aggressive sort of horse. Everything's got to be done a million miles an hour, and even the track work, with Morgan Butler, who rides at work, and you've just got to go with her, and if you get her in the bridle and she starts over racing, she's got this bad habit of flicking her head around, and I'm sure that, being such a high class athlete, Jimmy, that when you don't breathe, then you don't finish off, and horses, it's so important for horses to breathe through the early part of a race, because all of a sudden, if you haven't, you get the 600 and the pressure comes on and you start to burn a few red cells and you don't finish off. And that's so important. This guy, Jason, he's really, really got the key to her. And if there's no pace on, then he can sort of be a little bit closer, and he's got such good hands that he gets her to relax.
Mm. Gary, why did Ray laugh when you mentioned that? You're a high-class athlete.
No, I saw the smile go across your face. It was your Christmas present from Gary Portelli.
He's got a little head wobble too.
Hey, Gary, based on what you've just said there and how important Jason Collett is with Nicky's Gold, I think he's booked for the Belle of the Turf, isn't he? So
no, well, unfortunately he's not.
He's booked on another ride, isn't he?
That's right.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts around that then?
Well, I'm not keen to run. I might just wait and see. Sometimes, they're booked and things don't go quite right with the horse they're booked for. So who knows, he might become available. But
she's pulled up as good as gold. She cleaned up last night, and she's ready to go again if we want her. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk to the owners, and we'll make that decision. But it's just such a key having him on her back. There's a race for the following Saturday at Warwick Farm, over a mile. It's an open handicap, so she'll probably get in nicely at the weights there. She's probably going to get about a 79-80 benchmark now. Pretty hard to place once they get up to that benchmark because they only have 78s on a Saturday during this time of year.
Mm.
So being an open handicap, she might get in nicely. And, you know, it's 58,000 to the winner. It's hard to turn your back on. And you might be able to get Jason back on again.
Mm. I love the line you gave me yesterday, Gary. You described Nikki's Gold as a perfect owner's horse. And you're 100% right. Here's a filly originally who was purchased for just $25,000. She's won upwards of 280 now, and hopefully there's plenty more to come.
Yeah, look, that's, you know, all credit goes to Gold Edge. They found the filly. They basically have got a strategy with pedigrees, and they come up with a list of horses. I go around looking at the horse on type, and it's my job to decide whether I want to train the horse. And they've got a budget, and she was the last horse in the sale. We'd had a couple of cracks at a couple earlier, and just couldn't quite get there. Sweet Deal was one of them. We're under bidder on her. She's a pretty good handy filly too. And anyway, we waited all day, got this girl, and yeah, she's been a fantastic horse. She started off probably looking like she was going to struggle to win more than a maiden, and then she just worked it out. Like I said, she's got great tenacity, good turn of foot.
Mm.
She's good to train. She eats, and she's sound, and so she's gone from struggling around the provincials to a pretty handy Saturday company horse, and just has so much prize money in Sydney at the moment that you don't have to go to black type too quickly with horses. You can play, if you can place them, you can win a lot of money.
Mm. Just to let you know, Gary, we're celebrating Festivus in here this morning, which is a secular holiday that's celebrated on the 23rd of December. It goes away from the commercialism of the Christmas season. I just wonder if whether there's any grievance that you'd like to air today, just to get it off your chest in celebration of Festivus?
Mate, I had a winner yesterday, so...
he's in Christmas mood. And a winner Friday too, Gary. A Million Dreams is a nice, improving young three-year-old.
Yeah, he went really well.
Tough.
Started off, Max Whitby set him over from New Zealand. He was a little fellow when he turned up and didn't know what we were going to be able to do with him, but he showed good ability last preparation. We put him away, brought him back again, and unlucky second, first up. Third at Canterbury, unlucky again, and then was ridden beautifully by J-Mac on Friday and got the job done. And it's been a good, it was a slow month. We had the winner all month, a lot of placings, and then we had three winners in 3 days. And one of them was Picaro. He won a 2100 at Goulburn on Thursday for Louis Mahaika and the team, and he looks like a nice progressive sort of stayer by Piero for us. It's been a good finish to the month, and going into Christmas, it's always good for everyone.
So if we'd rung it 4 days ago, you'd have had plenty of grievances that you would have been able to air, Gary. But
well, it's funny, we had an open day last Sunday, and we had about 120 people turn up. And I'm sure you've probably got your invitation, Jimmy, but probably threw it in the bin. But yeah, a lot of people turned up, and they all got the mail, and a lot of messages on Facebook and what have you, and they've paid for the seafood for Christmas Day, apparently, a lot of them.
Hang on just a minute. There wasn't seafood out at the stable open day, was there?
No, too far from the coast out here.
Okay, all right. If there was, I was going to say, count me in for next year.
We'll organise a Sunday morning show out there, I think.
There's the key, right?
Yeah, that is the key. Hey, well done, Gary. Great to have a winner or a couple of winners over the last couple of days. We'll look with interest to see what happens with Nikki's Gold's future. And mate, on behalf of everyone here, you've always been good with your time on a Sunday morning. Hope you have a great Christmas, and we'll speak in the new year.
Yeah, same to everyone, listeners, and hopefully we can just keep the ball rolling for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Merry Christmas, Gary.
Gary Portelli there, a winner yesterday with Nikki's Gold, 1353-53, the open line number. We've got to take a break. It's 12 minutes to 8.
Fertile grass, rich soils and expert horse people give New Zealand thoroughbreds a winning edge. Graduates of New Zealand Bloodstock's yearling sales scored 120 stakes wins and 18 Group 1 wins last season alone. They've laid claim to the last 5 consecutive Australian Oaks and 5 out of the 7 Australasian Group 1 guineas last season. Destined for racetrack stardom, over 1,200 yearlings are on offer at Karaka this summer. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Jim, earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all the outstanding restaurants and bars. I had dinner with my son and daughter on their Thursday night. Saw our good friend Stuart Ayres, the minister.
Ah, the minister Ayres, yes. Good friend of the program.
Next to us.
Did you see the Panthers put that stuff out on...
Very good, wasn't it?
With the 80s training session in the gym, yeah. And then Gus Gould said, I played in the 80s and I never trained in that gear. And then a lot of people on Twitter suggested, Gus, you never trained in the 80s.
Not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
How good was it to win that Perth Test? Gee, it was good. Fist pumping and everything. I tell you what, I reckon even though Joe Cleary wasn't at Warwick Farm yesterday, his fist...
Where was he?
We'll have to ask him, because he would have been cheering his girls already, streaked home and secured a Magic Millions two-year-old classic start. And Joe's on the line from Queanbeyan. Joe, good morning. Well, Jimmy wants to know where were you yesterday, and... I know Frank deputised magnificently, but you couldn't make it to Warwick Farm?
No, mate. They all put their hand up to go to the races, and someone had to stay home and do the work, so I put my hand up to stay home and do the work. But morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. I was actually I was sitting at home kicking the shit out of the lounge, mate. I didn't guarantee that. I had a hand sandwich in one end, a cup of tea in the other end, and well, that pair of them went flying. I guarantee you.
Fantastic. Well, she did a super job yesterday, and the filly keeps improving, and Jess Taylor made a remark after the race, Joe, that in her first two starts she didn't travel that well and still got the job done in the second start. But yesterday she lobbed it outside the leader, settled beautifully, kicked one well.
Yeah, mate. I spoke to Jess last night. She said she just put herself there yesterday. Yeah. Obviously, even in a barrier trial when Aaron Flynn rode her, she was back last and she rounded them up. And then obviously Canberra was all a little bit too much for her. It was a bit new to her. And AC Vincho had the wall on her that day, and she sort of basically chased the whole race over the 5 furlongs at Canberra. And then Canterbury, she had a nice little drag into it. And yesterday she just went bang and put herself outside the leader. And it's a very, very exciting couple of weeks ahead, Ray.
Mm. Two wins and a third, as you mentioned, in the three starts. But the wins have come on a heavy eight. The third was on a good four. What's the best track condition for her, do you think, Joe?
Well, Jimmy, it's a little bit of, you know, six, one, half a dozen the other, mate. Like, when she won the barrier trial at Queanbeyan, it was like concrete.
Right.
But, obviously, I spoke to a couple of the owners last night. If we go to the Gold Coast, I said, we get a heavy eight, heavy nine, heavy ten, we're a cheeky chance. If we get a firm three or a firm two, we probably just enjoy the day. But, anyway, she's versatile, and she's pulled up really, really well, guys, here at the stables now. Like, last Sunday, no bastard turned up. This morning, they're all there. she probably only left a double handful of food overnight. She had all the hay and about 18 litres of water, but she heads to the paddock this morning. I'm sure they're 5 days off. But as for the track conditions, getting back to that, Jimmy, I prefer a heavy track.
You know, right.
It should be a cheeky check. Obviously, you know, we're going the deep end up there, but we're there, we're in the race. She's a lady's own horse, so we race for Katie's bonus.
Yep.
And as I say, mate, it's very exciting.
Yeah, your mother Sue's in the ownership, your wife Charlene's in it as well. Terrific times. And I tell you what, Joe, you might have a win or two from another horse that ran yesterday, caught my eye, Tag and Release. That was a really good run on the highway.
Yeah, he was a super run, mate. Yeah. There's a beautiful race for him on the 7th of January at Maria, the showcase meeting. There's a class 3 1650, so he's been a great little money spinner.
I think we discussed it yesterday morning. I purchased him with Lucky Pepper, and he's been a great little money spinner for the stables, and he pulled up really well. And unfortunately, Lucy bled, so Lucy's got a good long spell, so it's the highs and the lows all in the space of 90 minutes yesterday, mate.
Yeah, no, that's racing.
I was just about to say that's racing. Just back to Girls Already. Of course, your stable rep, Frank, won...
Did a good job, Frank, for a novice.
Well, we might get you to start next week. Clean O'Sullivan is a winner of the Magic Millions back in 1992. Is there that friendly rivalry there, Joe, that you want to make sure you equal some of the achievements of the old man?
Nah, mate, she's a very proud shadow to live in, Jimmy. I can guarantee you that. What Franco's done in this game, and, you know, he's got Black Opals, Golden Clippers, you know, what he's done out of this space down here, I don't think any trainer will ever do it. I got bounced off that a fair bit leading to that race yesterday. I had a yarn a couple of schemes, and he just basically said to me, you can't rest for now, you've got to keep going. So hence the fact she raced yesterday. I've got the window of opportunity now to give her the 5 days off, and then I'll shoot up to the Gold Coast on the 2nd or 3rd of January.
Right.
And, just hope for a wet track and a nice barrier. And obviously, the jury's out about the jockey, and I can guarantee it, Jess Taylor will be retaining the ride.
Ah, there you go. Fantastic. Good. And deservedly so. She rode it brilliantly yesterday. Hey, Joe, gee, I reckon Frank was bursting with pride yesterday. Did you get a chance to catch up with your father last night?
I had dinner last night, mate. I think the horse pulled up better than the train. when the Crown Lagers were going down really, really well, and John McIntyre produced a bottle of red wine, and I think that was going to put me to bed. But, we had a nice little Chinese last night. My daughter's in town, and it was a good night. Yeah, really
fantastic.
Well. Sounds like there's a few punters around Queanbeyan that did well, too. We just had Adam Doyle give us a call from down the coast. I think he's paid for his holiday, Joe.
Yep, he's paid for Christmas.
The problem with Adam, he doesn't sling. I've known Adam since I was a baby, and we've grown up playing footy and whatever else together. He's always first on the phone for a tip, but Adam doesn't sling, Jimmy. As you probably know, you played with him. So.
Yes. Yes. Well, he's listening right now, so if he can't cop that tip, he never will.
Oh, mate, he's a bit like Dave Stanley. He's the best that Mortain couldn't kill.
Well, I hate to tell you, Joe, speaking of pests that Mortain couldn't kill, and I'll probably class myself in that way, that Dave Stanley and I will be doing the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition from the Gold Coast.
There you go.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the Magic Million. So,
Joe,
we might have to have you on the program and maybe catch up and just... discuss things moving forward around a couple of jars of beer.
Yeah, we're going to have a mixed grill and a few schooners. Jimmy, sounds good.
All right.
Forward to it, mate. But, it's an exciting couple of weeks. Mum and Charlene involved is great.
Mm. Hey, Joe, it was fantastic to see the filly win yesterday. Great to see your father and your mother so happy too. Have a great Christmas, mate, to you and your family, and let's hope plenty more winners in 2019, Joe.
Thanks very much, guys. Merry Christmas to yourselves and all the punters out there. Cheers.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Cleary there, winner yesterday, and that was very popular with some of the punters out there. 1353 53 on the open line. Number Gary's on the line, wants to have his say. Let's go back there, Raymond. G'day, Gary.
Hello, Jim and Ray.
Good morning, Gary.
Ray, just a quick one, mate, on the test team.
Yeah.
When they're under pressure... He becomes a follower, not a leader. On those bases alone, he can never be captain again, just on those bases alone.
Steve Smith, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I quickly jump on Steve Rogers and Bob Fulton? If you take away their speed, I think I'm a mad Steve Rogers man. He taught me everything about the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take away their speed, I think he's a more complete footballer than Bob Fulton, Steve Rogers. The game involves around run, pass, kick and tackle.
Yep.
And he never gets a look in. You know what I'm referring to. He never gets a look in. And any young kid out there who wants to understand the game, just get a tape of Steve Rogers and follow him in the game. Not the game, just him in the game. Absolutely complete footballer. And if his head got knocked off, you know what he does? He plays the ball first before he picks up the head because he knows his teammate's on the front foot ready to go.
Good on you, Gary. We've got a number of people who are... I was speaking to Greg Purcell the other day. He played with Steve Rogers, massive fan of him. Don from Carlton's a massive fan.
He might have been too young. Do you remember him play?
I don't remember him.
I do, and to me, there were two absolute idols outside of the St George Club when I was a kid in Penrith Club, and they were Steve Rogers and Bob Fulton. And Steve Rogers was just graceful in everything he did. Had time, you know. Just brilliant.
Good on you, Gary. Appreciate that. 1353-53, the open line number. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tan with scratchings around New South Wales.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Maruya and Taree. We'll start down south with Maruya, where the weather is fine. The track is soft 6, the rail is true, and there are 21 scratchings. Race 1, take out 8, Fabulous Fran, 10, A Ginger Tale, 12, Subvert, 14, The Amazing Talia, 17, Star of Samara, and 18, Wild Soul. 8, 10, 12, 14, 17, and 18. Race 2, number 1, Gundy, number 1. Race 3, number 1, Banjaluka. 3, Ruler of All. 15, Two Seas. 18, Mr. Dreamy. 19, Lady Juliana. And 20, Better Not Rain. 1, 3, 15, 18, 19, and 20. Race 4, take out 1, Trumbo. 7, Sacred Sun. 12, Pink Moscato. 13, Nunya Biz. And 15, Run Like a Rebel. 1, 7, 12, 13, and 15. Race 5, number 7, Tiomo. 8, Tsunami Alert. And 15, Little Miss Chelsea. 7, 8, and 15. And races 6 at 7 at Maruya are clear. Taree, the weather is fine. The track is soft 5, the rail true, and 21 scratchings. Race 1, take out 2, Spanish Missile, number 2. Race 2, number 7, Call the Game. 10, Spirited Bell, and 11, Trifection, 7, 10, and 11. Race 3, number 3, Baldomero, 4, De Power, 7, Emperor Ali, 13, Try, Try Again, and 17, Let Me Guess, 3, 4, 7, 13, and 17. Race 4, number 12, I'm Kate, 16, Membro Doro, 17, Mocken, and 18, Miss Nelly. 12, 16, 17, and 18. Race 5, take out 4, Through the Cracks, number 4. Race 6, number 5, Better Not Fly, 8, Through the Cracks, and 11, Musical Family, 5, 8, and 11. And race 7, number 8, Miss Gigi, 11, Cunningham Lass, 14, God I'm Hot, and 17, Mambo Fever. 8, 11, 14, and 17, out of race 7, at Taree.
Thanks, Ray Ken. Mann. Some tongue twisters there, Ken. Yeah. Storm through them. Maruya, race 4, number 3, Art of More. Into the last race, race 7, number 2, Lead Me Astray, bet of the day. Go, you good thing. And over to Taree, race 2, number 6, Miss Emar. Into race 3, number 9, Belle de Vega.
We will put those out on social media as well. Just before we go to the news, we get this one. Morning, boys. Merry Christmas. Grievances here. Two, I think. It might have been the same buffoon that took the free-to-air cricket off the telly, that took the puff wheats off the shelves at the IGA. Fair dinkum. No thought of the suffering on the average punter. Cheers. Manly Manel.
I'm with Manly Manel.
Manly Manel might have it right. 1353-53, the Apple Line number. Time now for the news. After the news, we're back with Zorba and his thoughts on the National Rugby League.
I'm Arthur Stevens. Today's the day. Total 5 ban for parts of WA's Midwest Gascoyne and Goldfields Midlands. The ban covers the areas of Carnarvon, Kew, Macarthur, Menzies, Mount Magnet, Murchison, Sandstone, Shark Bay, Upper Gascoyne, Wiluna and Yalgoo. So with the 5 bans comes hot conditions, and Ravi Rivette's at the Bureau in Perth. Ravi, how hot will it get?
Well, we're looking at, I suppose, mid-40s through much of the inland Pilbara, northern Gascoyne, excluding maybe the far north Kimberley, where it's a bit more humid and we're looking at thunderstorms possible. But even then, we're still looking at high 30s up there. And then 40 degrees also down in southern parts of the state. So away from the west coast, through parts of the central wheat belt, Great Southern, and out towards the Esperance area, we're looking at 40 degrees forecast for those locations today.
After some pretty nasty conditions in parts of coastal New South Wales yesterday, things are looking a little better today. Not so good for Queensland, though. Katerina Kovacevic is at the Bureau in Sydney. Katerina, how bad was it?
Pretty ordinary yesterday, particularly in the afternoon. But today, it looks like that system, which was, a trough that was over the north coast, that's moved through. It's over in Queensland now. And so, we're seeing weather conditions ease today.
A pedestrian's died after he was hit by a car on a Perth road. The 29-year-old man was on Stanley Street at Scarborough in Perth's beachside north about 8 last night when he was hit by a VW Jetta driven by an 18-year-old man. The pedestrian died a short time later in hospital. Meanwhile, a man's been charged over a fatal hit-and-run accident in Geelong yesterday morning. 32-year-old man was found lying in Yarra Street at about 3:15. 27-year-old man from Lovely Banks in Geelong's Outer North went to police last night and has been charged with dangerous driving, causing death, and failing to render assistance. He's been remanded to appear in Geelong Magistrates Court tomorrow. Overseas, U.S. President Donald Trump's considering firing the head of the U.S. Federal Reserve and others. The turmoil in the Trump administration is expected to continue following the departure of James Mattis as Defense Secretary. Priscilla Huff.
U.S. President Donald Trump now wants to fire Jerome Powell, the chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve, for raising interest rates, Bloomberg reports. President Trump blames the head of America's central bank for the worst week in U.S. stocks since 2011. Powell is not the only top official, possibly on the outs. Other reports say Kirstjen Nielsen, the Secretary of Homeland Security, will leave after the meeting of global leaders in Davos in January. And with NBC News reporting, the special counsel's report will be done in mid-February. Robert Mueller remains a perennial target for the president's anger as well. Priscilla Huff, Air News, Washington.
The gunman who shot and killed five people in a Christmas market attack in Strasbourg had pledged allegiance to Islamic State, according to a French judicial official. The unnamed official says investigators have found a video stored on a USB key in which Sharif Shakat had claimed allegiance to the extremist group. The video was found at the 29-year-old's home. And finally, police have arrested two people after drone operators crippled the UK's second biggest airport, Gatwick, for 3 days by repeatedly flying onto the airfield, playing cat and mouse with the army. This is Air News. Football, and Brisbane's miseries escalated with a 4-1 loss to high-flying Wellington, whose A-League credentials are growing stronger by the week. Second-half goals to David Williams, Roy Krishna and Sarpreet Singh ensured the host capitalised on a dominant performance after a 1-1 half-time scoreline. In the other match yesterday, Melbourne City's Dario Vidicic has denied Melbourne victory top spot of the A-League in a seventh straight win, scoring an injury-time equaliser in a 1-1 derby draw. The result was a fair one given the weight of chances to City and continued a Christmas tradition of late goals in the December derby. Four of the nine derbies have featured game-changing goals in the 90th minute or later. In cricket, his favourite bat may be shattered, but Johan Botha is hopeful his body will hold together for the Hobart Hurricanes after sparking a win in the Big Bash League opener. The ex-South African one-day skipper has revealed he had to overcome a bulging disc in his back just to make his Hurricanes debut after impressing in a 15-run win over Brisbane Heat on the Gold Coast. The match didn't start well for ex-Sydney Sixers star Botha, who broke his much-loved bat with the first ball he faced as Hobart posted 6 for 159 thanks to man of the match Darcy Short's 67. And in the AFL, star Carlton recruit Mitch McGovern has added to the Blues' pre-season woes. The former Crow sustaining a back fracture in a training drill. McGovern clashed heavily with a teammate in a marking contest and crashed to the turf during an open training session at Icon Park last Thursday. The Blues reported the 23-year-old has a small non-displaced fracture of the back after he was sent for scans on Friday. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay by De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Crazy for longer hours? You need DFO Homebush. Open today from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Discover the brands on offer at dfo.com.au. Need DFO. In Miranda, we've got lights on the blink on the Kingsway at Jackson Avenue. Exercise caution. In Pyrmont, we're expecting heavy traffic on Pyrmont Bridge Road at Bridge Road due to the fish market's Christmas trading. It's all okay for now. And at Eastern Creek, look out for new line markings westbound to the mountains on the M4 between the M7 and Roper Road. Day not going your way and need a win? Red Rooster's 2 Chicken Sliders, winner for just $5. Now that's winner, winner. Available until 4 p.m. T's and C's apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Start your Christmas celebrations at Bottlemart. Grab a 700ml bottle of Grant Scotch Whiskey for just $35.99. Grant Scotch Whiskey, triple wood, triple good. Enjoy responsibly. Catalogue out now. Start your Christmas celebrations at Bottlemart.
Mum, do you want to know the long-range forecast for this summer?
Yes.
Moderate temperatures, gentle breezes, and cool gift cards.
Gift cards?
When you buy a split-system air conditioner from Bingley.
Which one, Lionel?
We've got the latest models from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, Kelvinator, and Panasonic.
What could be better?
A bonus Bingley gift card, up to $300, depending on the size of the aircon.
So beat the heat this summer.
With a brand new aircon and a bonus gift card from Bingley.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower in the morning. Oh, you had that. Roads were wet coming in this morning.
Yeah, they were.
Also a slight chance of a shower in the afternoon. Wind south, east to southwesterly, 15 to 25 k's. Tending 25 to 35 k's along the coast, then becoming light in the evening. Sydney heading for a coolish top temperature of just 23 degrees today. James, what's the current temperature at Moorebank and down at Maruya?
Currently at Moorebank, 17 degrees. We'll get to 24 degrees there. Of course, they're racing at Maruya today and partly cloudy, a maximum temperature of just 22 degrees.
Merry Christmas, Lee.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Moorebank.
You ready to sing a little jingle bell? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow.
A little bit of Michael Bubble there for those people who are interested in that. I think that's how you pronounce it. 1353 53 is the open line number. Zorba very shortly. Jenny Graham will have a chat to, as well as a Event Cinemas quiz.
30 points to 19. You're increasing your lead each week.
We'll also have a chat to do some basketball with a big game coming up this afternoon. Probably the Kings. Two competition favourites as it stands. Melbourne United up against the Sydney Kings. Kings at home for that one. We'll speak to Brad Rosen, former Sydney Kings captain. What we are doing today, though, is a little bit of this.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
That's right. That Frank Costanza, father of George. And what he's doing is he's understanding that there needs to be a better way. There's something other than the commercialism.
Rain blows upon him.
The commercialism of Christmas. So as a result of that, we're airing our grievances today. Around what happened in 2018 from a sporting point of view. The other one I didn't mention was fancy paying money to watch the Anthony Mundine, Jeff Horn pot. Like, if you paid good money, if you paid bad money.
That happens in boxing. One punch, you know. Bang.
Apparently it's all again. They're looking to do it again.
The tip is he wants a rematch, Anthony Mundine. One more chance. Doesn't want to go out on that knockout. Bang, gone all over.
Yeah, it was a good payday for both of them. We'll find out what happens. Interview with Anthony Mundine after 9 o'clock on Fox Sports, so we'll try and get an update of that. Time now to speak to Zorba, though. There's lots been happening in the world of rugby league. Great to get his thoughts on it, as we do every Sunday. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys. Merry
Morning,
Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, mate.
All right, let's get to the big stories of the day. Shane Flanagan banned. And in the end, the evidence presented by the Integrity Unit was pretty damning, Zorb. Just days after being suspended, he was sending out emails confirming what's going to happen for the next year.
I can see something behind the scenes here, and I just want to throw this out there right at the start. It's obvious that 9 Sydney clubs now is too many. Relocation is on. It's a game of poker now. Who blinks goes? They go west, north, or across the ditch. And really, when you look at the 9 Sydney clubs, and they're the ones that have been hit hard by the NRL over salary cap breaches in recent times. Other than Melbourne over 10 years ago, it's significant that the hammer's coming down on the Sydney clubs. And a lot of people in the game are asking, is there one set of rules for the Sydney clubs and one for the out-of-towners like the Broncos and the Cowboys and the Newcastles, etc.? Penrith, Parramatta, West Tigers and the Canterbury Bulldogs represent Sydney's West, which is now the heartland of Sydney. Penrith don't have financial issues. Parramatta don't, although and they've got a new ground to go to. West Tigers have financial problems and the Bulldogs don't. Representing Sydney South, St George, Illawarra and Cronulla. St George, up until recently, have had issues, but they've gone more private. Cronulla are under the hammer. City and Sydney East, represented by the Roosters in South Sydney, both very strong, in no issues. Sydney North, represented by Manly, have the worst ground in the league. They are privately owned, though. But one of those clubs, I reckon, is going to go. And they're going to be relocated, and it's going to happen in the next 2 years. I think that what's happened is significant. This week, we've seen Shane Flanagan be deregistered, and that was expected, I think. And that was leaked by the NRL that it would be significant.
Mm-hmm.
But what was a surprise was the banning of Justin Pascoe. It was far from expected. There was no leak. It was significant in many ways. For a start, the severity for me seems over the top. But of more interest is that the NRL proved it can, at long last, keep a secret. No leaks to the favoured media on this one. No 2 hours start on the rest of the pack. Pascoe got a call at 8 o'clock on the morning that he was axed from his job. Is it a coincidence? Is it a coincidence? No, I don't think so. That the scrutiny and seemingly different set of rules to what the out-of-towners get is significant in the game. As I said before, I believe the poker game to get a Sydney club moved in the next 2 years has well and truly started.
Also, on that then, which club do you think is most vulnerable and relocation? Where? Brisbane?
Oh, I don't know. I think Perth. I think Perth gives the NRL another time slot on television, and the club that will go will be the one that hits the wall hardest and first. The NRL aren't going to bail anyone out, despite the fact that they've done it many times in the past. They've said, even with a $50 million war chest again now, they're saying they're not going to help clubs. So if one goes now under, they're gone. They'll be relocated.
Yeah.
So it'll be the West Tigers, Perth West Tigers, or the Perth Seagulls, or the Perth Sharks. It'll be one of the 9 clubs in Sydney.
Hang on, forget about where you think they might go. Who do you think will go? Who of the 9? Frame a market.
You just said it.
No.
3.
But who's top of the market? Who's the favourite?
Oh, look, I think West Tigers, I think Cronulla, and I think Manly.
In that order?
Well, yeah.
Mm.
Cronulla's fascinating. Having lived in the Shire now, their whole life, that whole community revolves around the Sharks.
I know, yeah.
The whole community.
If the Seagulls go, there's no club north of the harbour.
No. And that is a concern.
To even suggest it. But unless something happens with Brookvale Oval, and I keep getting sick of the promises that are being made, unless something happens at Brookvale Oval, I think the NRL have to virtually say you can't play there. I mean, you can't get a Medicab on the ground under its configuration at the moment. Well, to me, that's a health hazard. That's safety. You can't have it. And as much as I love the old ground, it's got to be brought up to standard.
That's
the biggest black mark on Manly. Biggest black mark on West Tigers is that they've got powerful clubs around them, like Penrith, West Tigers and Canterbury. They're all flush with... Penrith, Parramatta and Canterbury. They're all flush with good leagues clubs that support them. New ground for Parramatta. They're not going to go anywhere, even though they're a basket case on the field at the moment. Then one of those teams in the West could go.
Oh, don't worry. The West Tigers via the Western Suburbs leagues clubs have got plenty of dough.
Oh, just a question to both of you gentlemen. Perth. Why Perth, Sorb and Jimmy? And it didn't really work during Super League, did it?
No.
Is the market big enough?
The time frame. The difference in time, it can bring in another game in peak viewing time. So it's really a jewel in the crown. It wasn't going that badly. There's plenty of money in the West too, or there was.
Absolutely. Victim of the Super League war, or the dissolution of the Super League war. The second Brisbane team is a must in my mind.
Well, that could be the other way it goes. Mm. But then again... Should the Warriors have all of New Zealand?
Yeah, and I'll throw in a second New Zealand team.
Yeah. Fair enough. Mm.
Yeah, so that's 3 teams. So how do you make that work?
That means teams have got to go. So they won't bail out clubs that are in trouble anymore.
No. Now, before we get to your predictions for 2019, one of the things that I listed as a grievance today was the fact that it's been a really tough off-season, especially for the one particular issue, and that is treatment of women by National Rugby League players. You got some thoughts on that, and some of the players have got some thoughts on that, Zorb.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that 3 of our top players in Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk and James Maloney have said enough is enough, and they're speaking out about the horror off-season, which has seen 5 NRL stars have been charged with sexual or indecent assault. Now, they've come out and said very clearly that there's no place in the game for it, which is we expect them to say, but they want something done about it if a player but they have to go through the process of the court, which is exactly what we've been saying. I mean,
yes.
There's no shortcut to it.
No.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad publicity when charges are made, and if they're found not guilty, it's not the same. It's not the same headlines. It doesn't mean as much in the eyes of the media. But I think it's now anyone found guilty of laying a hand on a woman will not be playing our game ever again. I don't think there is a way back. There have been some players that have redeemed themselves, but I don't think they're going to get that opportunity in the future. I think the hammer is coming down harder than ever, and I think we've all got to applaud that.
Yeah, 100%, Zorb. Hey, Zorb, 2019, can we get your early predictions for the NRL season?
Yeah, just before that, I just want to bring up quickly the accreditation document. I'm not sure whether you guys have seen it, but you have to sign to allow you to be an official of the game, a coach of the game, a player in the game. Now, I think it needs to... It gives the NRL massive power, and that power has been flexed in the last 12 months and this week with the controlling body unprecedented in the power that it has. Now, they showed that this week, the deregistering of Shane Flanagan and Justin Pascoe. Last year it was Joe Kelly and Neil Baer, and before that a couple of Parramatta officials. So the form has to be filled in prior to the start of every season, or passes for the game, dressing room, et cetera, is denied. It's a document that I believe probably goes too far. It smacks too much of Big Brother to me. I'd like it to be made public for the media to look at, or fans to look at. It's fairly lengthy, but I think it shows what you have to do to be in the game, or else you are under the jurisdiction of the NRL. I don't know of any other sport that has the lines of power going to the head body more than this document. It's all powerful. Have you seen it, Jimmy?
I haven't seen it. I'm interested in it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see if we can get...
Was there anything in particular about it that...
Oh, I just think you've got to sign your life away.
Right.
And I know several powerful people in the game refused to sign it. Now... there was one issue last year where the league was saying a certain person, a very high-profile person, would have to reapply should he want to come back to the game. Well, he never, ever signed it. They had no right to suggest that. And that still could be a matter of litigation. And that was the league flexing too much power and not checking its facts that the person involved hadn't signed it. Indeed, I didn't sign it for the last few years that I was involved in the game.
Okay, interesting.
I just thought it went too far.
Surely there could somebody be leaked to someone.
Oh, well, there's a million of it out there.
Exactly.
I'll get a hold of one.
Interesting.
And predictions, Orb?
Okay, I'm going to stick my neck out. So what's different? Canberra and Newcastle, big improvers to make the eight.
You said that, Jimmy, didn't you, Canberra?
Canberra and Newcastle, yeah, we'll make the eight, I reckon. Sean Johnson to be a star at the Sharks. I think he'll thrive in the environment there, and they've got their backs to the wall now. I think he'll be, with so many experienced players around him for advice and for help on the field, I think they'll come up. They've got a strong enough roster, the Sharks, to overcome what they're going through at the moment. And I think they've shown in the past that they can do that. I think Corey Norman will flop at the Dragons. I think he's very overrated, not worth the money that he gets. And I can't see him making a lot of difference. I think the exit of their fine English player towards the end of next season will be a body blow to the Dragons. I think it'll influence them at the start of the season as well. Brad Arthur's last stand at Para, I reckon he's got about 8 weeks to prove himself there, or that door will be open. And another CEO to follow, Justin Pascoe, out of the door early in the new year.
Stay tuned. Zorb, your teeth.
Any ideas on that, Zorb?
Can
we just join the dots on that one?
I think you might.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, they're $1.95 Newcastle to make the eight, which is shortening. Mm. Canberra, $2.25. So there you go. That's at tab.com.au. As always, Zorb, great to have you on the program. On behalf of everyone here, mate, all the people who work on the program and the listeners, a big Merry Christmas to you and the family, mate.
Thanks, mate. It's all about family, isn't it, Christmas? And I wish everybody a wonderful family Christmas. And all those people that have loved ones in hospitals, spare a thought for them. Mm. Tough time for a lot of people.
Yeah, most definitely.
Well said, Zorb. Merry Christmas.
Good on you, Zorb, mate. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
There he is, Zorba. 1353-53, the open line number. Tell you what, he's just tossed a few more up, hasn't he? There's no doubt about him. We love him. 24 minutes past 8 here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Summer is a great time to play catch-up, whether it's with the cricket, tennis, or on those projects around the house. Get inspired for your home reno with Wideline Windows and Doors. Whether it's awnings at Avalon, sliding windows at Seven Hills, or bifolds at Broadmeadow, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Take a closer look at the stylish range of Wideline Windows and Doors. Get started today by visiting wideline.com.au.
Inglis graduates dominated the spring 3-year-old classics. Extra Brute in the Derby.
He's strong. He wins the Derby. Extra Brute from start.
Aristia in the Oaks.
Aristia just in front of Graceful Glenner. Aristia. Aristia on the Oaks from Graceful Glenner.
The Autumn Sun in the Guineas. Smart buyers be in 2019, inglis.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
That's the on-air.
Well, you and I are aware of it. Next thing you know, producer Steve will become aware of it too.
You're bagging producer. He's the boss, you know.
Is he? Oh.
You can't bag producer Steve.
All right, fair enough,
Well, you just did.
Too late now. No way, we'll all cut it out in the edit, Ray. It'll be fine. Won't make it to the podcast, we know that.
You're too good.
1353-53 is the open line number, Roman.
Well, I want to go back to that Perth test, Jim, if I can.
Go for it.
Nathan Lyon.
Yes.
And you said he's potentially, Shane Warne-Bleas will go past his record in test cricket for wickets.
Yes.
At 31, he is getting better, isn't he? And he was the go-to man throughout that test match, not just in the first innings when he was tying up an end and taking wickets, but then in the second innings when he had to produce that match-winning spell, and he did.
Well, the incredible thing about it was that India didn't play a spinner. Now, they came there and they looked at the green wicket and they didn't play a spinner. Now, that was complicated by the fact that Ravi Ashwin was out injured. So if he was available, they would have played him, no doubt. And I think that was crucial in the way the test finished up. But to do that on that wicket, to do that on that pitch, Nathan Lyon, for a finger spinner to be so effective on a Perth wicket, and I know it's not the whacker, I thought was significant.
And Justin Langer did say after the test match, and it was so right, that Nathan Lyon's role is not just to take wickets, but it's also to bowl lengthy spells at one end so then they can rotate their fast bowls at the other, keep them fresh. They're not bowling lengthy spells. They can bowl 4 or 5 over spells, rotate the bowler. His role in that team can't be understated, Jim. He is a linchpin, an absolute star, Nathan Lyon.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Hey, Big Bash has started this week, and I'll just get your thoughts on it. This is an SMS that's coming from Steve. Is it just me? After watching the two tests against India, which have been compelling viewing, the Big Bash seems a bit flat and boring. Doesn't have the tension. That's from Steve.
The two test matches have been fantastic. Each session has been incredible. The Big Bash is what it is, isn't it? You sit back, you have a couple of beers, you enjoy it, and you go, gee. Like last night, that Max Bryant went berserk early doors, and some of that ball striking was fantastic. But the test matches have been super. But you know why? The pitches. They've been a test of bat and ball.
One's a meal, the other's a snack.
Correct.
Now, I was at the Sixers game yesterday with the Scorchers, and, you know,
it's great
entertainment.
No, it's great fun.
Yeah. And it's a snack. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's get the calls there. Rod's on the line. Hello, Rod.
Hey, mate.
Morning, Rod.
Look, my whinge is, and it was interesting you had Zorba on, because I think the NRL's taken their foot off the pedal. More than that, they jammed it on the brake too hard. They had a chance. They expanded it to Adelaide and Perth and decided we wouldn't proceed. They've let country rugby league die. And I travel all around Australia. And if you look now, colleges and schools where there was rugby league posts are now Aussie rules posts.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
They should have went to Gosford. No. North Sydney Bears folded. Everybody wanted the Bears at Gosford. No, they folded. And Gosford was there. Singo was prepared to back him, get him up to Gosford. No. And everybody blamed the Manly Club for that. Whether that's true or false, I don't know. But places like Armidale had three rugby league teams. They got one. Places further in the bush have got nothing. Rugby league said, we're taking the games to the bush. Where did they went to Mudgee.
Yeah.
And they went to
Tamworth.
Yeah.
Australia's a hell of a lot bigger than just Mudgee and Tamworth. Mudgee, most of the people just drive straight over the mountains to go to Mudgee to watch a game.
Yeah.
You know, the country's big.
Oh, Rod, absolutely. Take your point on it. Yeah. Don't worry. The AFL have their issues around participation
correct.
As well.
Yeah, correct. Jimmy, just on the point of expansion.
Yes.
Is there enough talent there to have another two, three teams, as we've mentioned this morning? Is there enough talent?
If you put a second team in New Zealand, you've got no problem
fair
with that.
Fair enough, yeah. What about in Australia?
No problem.
Think so?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
But wasn't that one of the issues before? Was it wasn't enough talent to go around, first-grade talent?
Yeah. But you'll recruit new participants to it, and who cares if the players... Like, I watch a lot of intra-super premiership. Mm. There's talented players there.
Yep.
If you see a talented player in that grade and they do something similar in the higher grade, it's still entertaining to watch, right?
Absolutely.
All these people say, oh, there's not the talent to go around. You look at it and go, well, is the game entertaining? If the game's entertaining,
there's a talent
then that's
there.
All you have to worry
good
about.
Point, no.
13:53:53. Neil's on the line. G'day, Neil.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Neil.
How are you?
Terrific, mate. How are you going? All set for Christmas?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
That's the one.
I just want to add, once again, to the ball tampering.
Yes.
I've played, you know, obviously just grade cricket for many, many years. It never crossed my mind to ever take a piece of sandpaper out in my pocket.
Agreed.
And I just... See, with the Duplessis and everything, with the lollies and everything, like, I can cop that because... The amount of people that are chewing gum or whatever, it doesn't really worry me. But when you actually take a foreign object like sandpaper, like, why didn't they just run an extension lead out with an orbital sander? You know? I thought, dead set, when I saw it, I thought, this is a G-up, it's April the 1st. I could not believe it. And Cameron Bancroft made himself look like an utter goose the way he carried on. The brightest of bright yellow sandpaper, like, give me a break. They should have got... Their 12 months shouldn't have been for ball tampering. It should have been for sheer stupidity.
Well, yeah. It's actually not a ridiculous point that you make, Neil. In fact, sandpaper, the foreign object going on there, but, you know, where do you draw the line at? Okay, well, what about mints? Now, famously...
Yeah, Jimmy, how many players would go out in just... out in the bush cricket with a mint or chewing gum in their mouth. Like, it's not that uncommon.
But is it a foreign object?
Well, what's chewing gum?
Well, if you've got a mint in your pocket and they're falling out of your pockets in an Ashes series, is that a foreign object?
Well, yeah, I suppose it's sandpaper, really? An abrasive, you know, it's like...
I was speaking to a former international cricketer during the course of the week, and they were talking about when they played at North Sydney Oval, they would get the ball, and as they're walking up the race there, run it against the concrete.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think what Neil's saying is right, because I don't think I've ever seen people take on onto the field something like sandpaper and use it to affect the ball.
When you saw the vision of Cameron Bancroft, you were just dumbfounded. Mm. It was like this bright yellow... It was never,
bizarre,
ever going to hide it. Yeah. And the way he flaunted it around, it was like, are you for real?
Mm.
And, yeah, I think people were just absolutely dumbfounded that an Australian team would just go to those lengths. And for what? Were they really going to... Was it going to make that much difference?
Well, it was desperate, wasn't it? It was a desperate situation in the match. In a desperate situation in what was a overtly competitive It was an aggressive
test series. In that series.
And no doubt, I totally agree with you. Australia, they went too far.
Mm.
Players within that dressing shed went too far. But did they go to the extent where they deserved to have that level of sanction imposed upon them compared to other perpetrators?
And this is an alternative view from Parramatta. The Cape Town three have been punished, punished, and then punished again. Any other ball tamperers were given a fine or a one-match penalty at most. What do those holier-than-thou people want? Stonings in Martin Place every week. Get the Cape Town three back in the squad as soon as their extended bans end. We need them. Cricket needs them from Parramatta. As I said, Jimmy, polarises opinion this issue, doesn't it? Has done since South Africa.
Since day one.
Yep.
Literally, from morning one, when we went on air.
Correct.
And we heard about the news that was coming out of Cape Town. It was huge news then. It still is. 1353 53, the open line number. We get this in from Tab Bunny Boy. Hi, team. I'm just wondering if the Cronulla so-called self-reporting was a setup to get rid of Flanagan. Considering you hear a lot of people are happy he is gone, he was destabilising. They must have known the NRL would access their servers and go through them with a fine-tooth comb.
Mm.
It's funny, I was talking about this to someone asked me during the week, do you think that they reported deliberately to get rid of Shane Flanagan? I thought it was a stretch
take,
too far.
It? Yeah.
It's a stretch too far to think that far ahead. I don't think that is what Barry Russell was doing. Just a thought. Also, the biggest losers in the salary cap drama are the fans. My gripe for 2018 is Ray's continual bad tips on a Sunday. I'd take his selections all up for the place. I've only got one up for this year.
One up.
Tired of making a weekly donation.
To the Tavern Bunny Boy.
Mm.
Is it that bad?
Hasn't been strong, Ray. You were so good on a Sunday. Yeah.
Thank you, panel operator Hamish.
What was that? 2 out of 2 last week?
At one meeting, anyway.
This
is from Marcus from Canberra. Ray, Steve Smith should never captain Australia again. He was a good captain when winning and an extremely poor captain with terrible antics when under the pump and losing. Plus, look back at the way he shunned and failed to use Nathan Lyon in numerous tests.
There you go.
Marcus from Canberra.
Yeah, thank you, Marcus. We do appreciate that. It's actually got some validity to that, too. Mm. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. And we come back with the Event Cinemas quiz? Yeah. We're still trying to get Jenny Graham.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back with Jenny. If we can't get Jenny, we'll have the quiz, and we'll sort it out during the break.
Mum, you know that look on someone's face when they unwrap a Christmas gift?
Like when you gave me a pea fridge?
No, not that look.
Oh, you mean the look of happiness?
Yes, and there's so many gift ideas to make people happy at Bingley.
Like a beautiful Breville coffee machine.
Or the Philips Air Fryer XXL. It removes fat and keeps food crunchy.
Or the latest BS digital sensor, hot air styler.
Or a Bingley gift card. That's another way to unwrap the perfect Christmas gift.
Unwrap Christmas at Bingley.
What's wrong with a beer fridge?
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Kerr drifting towards a penalty spot and then away. Kerr with a header! She's done it again! Sam Kerr, Rachel Hill, what a combination! The cross from the American, the header from the Australian, and Kerr Dorey, after being a goal behind, are now leading by 2-1 and heading, at least temporarily, to the top.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
James, talk about genuine superstars. Sam Kerr.
Yep.
What an absolute star she is.
No doubt about it. Relocate Manly and Zorba. I don't care where. Just move them further away from reality. That's from Paramount. There you go. Ha, 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 guys. Jimmy and Ray, list of grievances. Where do I start? From my punting skills on a Saturday to the 2018 NRL season. Ah, well, only nine more nights to go and we can erase 2018, start fresh. Merry Christmas and a happy and safe new year to you boys and your families. Have a good one. That's from Tooks. Good on you, Tooks.
I reckon one of the punting tips we should follow in 2019 is the Jenny Graham stable, James, because it is flying and Jenny's been good enough to join us after taking awesome pluck to Brisbane to win at her first day. No, I didn't swear.
You sure?
Absolutely. I said black instead of pluck.
We'll check the tapes on that
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. I'd never swear.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
And Jenny's on the line.
Not Jenny, in front of a lady either.
Absolutely. Jenny, good morning. And Jimmy's having a go at me here. But I'll tell you what, Awesome Pluck is absolutely flying. And where to next, Jenny?
Look, Ray, you'll have a short break and then you'll be set for our Heat of Our Country Championships at Port Macquarie.
Mm-hmm. What a win, Jenny. What about the ride from Damien Brown? I thought outstanding. Your thoughts during the course of the race? I was thinking, how on earth did he get this horse through?
Yes, I agree. He was very patient in the ride, but he said the horse is learning a lot and the tempo was really good for him to... you know, travel nicely and finish the race off. But he did leave finishing it off till the last minute.
He did, yeah. Jenny, I know everyone asked you, but both these horses are putting together such good records now, Victorum and Awesome Pluck. Can you compare them, Jenny?
No, look, not really. Victorum's a little professional, whereas Awesome Pluck is just taking a little bit of time. Look, he's going to be a very, very nice horse. It's just that, you know, he's wanting to overdo things a little bit, and basically that's why he was brought back to the 1,000. Damien thought in the 12 that he was still travelling a little bit solid, and we were actually just trying to teach him, like, to race properly instead of going out so hard, and, you know, that paid off yesterday. But, no, as far as comparing him, and to be fair, I don't really want to.
Right,
yeah, fair enough.
Really
yeah.
nice horses and, you know, going forward.
And just on that, you mentioned, is there a best distance for Awesome Pluck? 1,000 metres yesterday, 1,200 the race before, second over the 1,350. Have you found a distance, Jenny?
Look, I think Awesome Pluck, he will get ground in time.
Right.
I just feel that he just needs to learn the racing pattern first. And, you know, I think... you know, he'll get over ground mile, no worries at all. You know, like we just need him to keep, you know, learn to relax a little more yet. And, you know, I think, and that's why we brought him back to the 1,000 really to sort of keep teaching him, because he's going back into a 12, like it will be his next run for our country championships.
Right.
He's such a big horse too, isn't he, Jenny? So when he gets going. Hey, Jenny, you went 56.55 for the 1,000 metres at Eagle Farm. You were there yesterday. How did Eagle Farm race? How did it look, the track?
No, it raced, I thought it raced great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. by all reports, they were really happy with how the track was. They were winning from, you know, forward, back, making ground. So, yeah, I believe it raced very, very well.
It's just good to have Eagle Farm back. And Victorum's next start, Jenny?
It will be at Doomben next weekend in the Buffering.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where he'll head next weekend.
He deserves it.
He's going really well. He's pulled up really well from his run. So, no, he's on track.
Well, hopefully he can keep that winning streak for you going in Brisbane. It's been great to watch. Two very promising horses. Jenny, thanks for joining us today. Very Merry Christmas to you, and hope there's plenty more winners for you in 2019.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny.
Jenny Graham there, a winner with Awesome Pluck. That's Pluck, right? The winner yesterday for Pluck. Awesome Pluck with Jenny Graham there. 1353.
Everyone looked up, panel operator.
Didn't
Hayes,
they what?
Daniel,
I tell you what.
Steve, you?
We'll have to cut that one out in the edit. 1353 is the open line number. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the Event Cinema's quiz score update, 30-19.
Game over.
The biggest update is that there's 3 cartons of beer for me and Ray's car. 1353-53, call now for your chance to win in the Event Cinema's quiz.
Everyone, it's Maddie Clamp Sloan from the Big Sports Breakfast, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas. Have a great festive season and a wonderful new year.
From all of us here at Sky Sports Radio, have a Merry Christmas.
The catalogue for the 2019 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale is out now. 786 yearlings on offer from March 3 to 6 at a renovated Oaklands Junction. A new look venue, the same English passion. Catalogue available at english.com.au.
Start your Christmas celebrations at Bottle Mart. Grab a 700ml bottle of Grant Scotch Whiskey for just $35.99. Grant Scotch Whiskey. Triple wood, triple good. Enjoy responsibly. Catalogue out now. Start your Christmas celebrations at Bottle Mart.
Australians are practical people. So what about a useful everyday diary for women full of essential health information that also saves lives? Now that's something. The Australian Women's Health Diary funds life-saving breast cancer trials research. Buy one for yourself or someone you love and do something that does something. It's just $18.95 from newsagents, Woolworths and magshop.com.au. The Australian Women's Health Diary. Buy the diary that saves lives today.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, rock. Jingle bell, swing, yeah, jingle bell, swing. Snowing and blowing, a bush is in fun.
House of Glee, Ray. Okay. A couple of my favourites there. Been in many houses in my time. I don't think I've ever been in a House of Glee.
Had to burst in a song again, weren't you, James?
Just about to. Just about to. Event cinemas, a couple of days of Christmas. The movie gift cards, you've got to remember, they're a great last-minute stocking filler, Ray, this summer. Event cinemas has another amazing lineup of films on the horizon, including Bumblebee. You know what that's about, Ray?
I don't, do
the,
you?
The life cycle of the bee.
Okay.
No, it's not. It's about a transformer.
Obviously, you've got young kids, and I haven't.
Aquaman.
I know about Aquaman.
Oh, he does nearly as many push-ups as you, Aquaman. Ralph Breaks the Internet. That's an animated series, Ray. And How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
And that is about?
Draining dragons, I think. That's a documentary with Paul McGregor. As well as Emily Blunt in Mary Poppins Returns.
I know what that one's about.
All right. So treat your elf. Or someone else, because the best gift is Love Actually. I know it's Tanya's favourite film at Christmas time. She hates it. Get your gift card now at giftshop.eventcinemas.com.au. The kids are going to see The Grinch today.
It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart. I told you that last week.
I know we're getting off track a little bit, but kids these days, you've got to entertain them all the time. My kids.
What's new, Jim?
My kids have been to learn. Mate, let them run out in the back paddock for a day. See how they go.
Oh, they've
been at Luna Park on Thursday. They went to Bondi with their mother on Friday. Yesterday they went to the Big Bash game. And today they're going to the movies with their grandmother down in Bowral.
It's a good thing. They're on holidays.
They're on holidays. Tell you what, my grievance why do we have to entertain kids the whole time?
So what, your childhood, you're scarred by his childhood.
I'll tell you what I did in my childhood. I left at 8 o'clock and I came back at 5 o'clock. I was out in the paddocks with Dad the whole time. And loved every minute of it.
That's true. Well, different environment, James. You're out in the bush then.
We've got the quiz together. Well, what do you play? I'll let you play it too because I know you hate odd numbers.
And you're flying anyway.
It doesn't matter.
You can call the shots.
Hey, Snappy.
G'day, bro.
All right, Snappy. We'll get this done snappily. Question one. Which country was the last to beat Australia in a Boxing Day test match?
India.
Incorrect. It was England in 2010. I think they did the sprinkler dance after
they won the series.
Okay, Snappy. Question two. Which NBL team is playing the Adelaide 36ers on Boxing Day? Is it A, Sydney, B, Perth, or C, Melbourne?
Sydney.
It is not Sydney. It is Melbourne. Bad luck, Snappy.
No, it's Mexico.
Yeah, that's well right. Done, that's well right. Done. Should have been option D.
Yeah.
Question three. Which former English Test cricket captain does not celebrate his birthday on Christmas Day? A, Alastair Cook. B, Mike Gatting. C, Marcus Trescothick. You with us, Snappy?
B.
Who is it?
B. Was it Big Gatting?
Yeah, Big Gatting.
That'll do. I'd stay with that. Well done. Did Marcus Trescothick captain of England?
Well, look, yeah, thumbs up from producer Steve. And if you're saying he didn't, then you're questioning directly producer Steve.
He's much more informed than I am. I couldn't quite recall that. So, one.
Okay. One out of three for Snappy. Stay on the line, bud.
Hey, Lenny, you there? Hopefully we can get Lenny up on the line shortly. Lenny, good morning.
Morning, Ray.
How are you, Lenny? We need one to tie, two to win. Best of luck, mate. Question number one. Here we go. Who was awarded man of the match in the second test between Australia and India in Perth?
Nathan Lyon.
Spot on. What a player he is, Nathan Lyon. Question number two. This is for the game, actually.
Hang on, that's too easy.
Here we go. Question number two. Which former Parramatta Eels forward is celebrating his birthday today? Is it A, Stan Gerd, B, Ray Price, see Peter win?
I'll go Stan Jurd.
Stanley Plunkett Jurd.
Yeah, it's Peter Wynn. Here we go, question number three.
Friend of the program too, Peter Wynn, by the way.
Yes, yep.
You don't score there.
You'll never score.
Yeah.
Here we go, Lenny. We can get this. Here we go. Question number three. The tradition of the annual Boxing Day test at the MCG was legally secured in which year? A, was it 1977, B, 1980, or C, 1983?
77.
Hang on. Premature clap there for Lenny.
Not only were you wrong, Lenny, so too was panel operator Hamish.
It was 1980.
First time he's been wrong.
Oh, yes. This does not deserve a prize. Hey, but Lenny, we're still in the game here. This is the tiebreaker question. You ready to go, mate?
Yes, mate.
How many runs did Australia make in the second test versus India in Perth? It was between 500 and 600 runs.
588.
Okay. 588, all right.
Hang on the line there, Lenny.
Stay on the line, Lenny. Snappy, you there?
I'm still here.
All right, good. How many runs did Australia make in the second test versus India in Perth, i.e. across both innings? Between 500 and 600.
549.
My man, Lenny wins.
You've won by one.
Yeah,
you've won by
Lenny
one
Lenny has
run.
Fallen over the line. Lenny, you there? Hey, Lenny, you there? Oh, you've got panel operator Hamish has got it right now. Hey, Lenny, you've won by one run, 588 compared to 549. The answer was 569. Well done, Lenny.
Thanks, boss.
Terrific.
Where do you live, Len?
Fairfield.
Fairfield. Event Centre is Parramatta.
Oh, Parramatta, of course. Parramatta.
Of course, that's Prakash has already been there for Parramatta. So
he set up the business.
A big stamp on Parramatta. It's got Prakash written all over it. So there you go. Good on you, Lenny. Stay on the line, mate. We'll send you out that double pass courtesy of Event Cinemas. Congratulations. You did get that right. Although, I've got to say, first in that quiz was Lenny, second was Snappy, and third was panel operator Hamish. So work to do, no doubt about it. 1353-53.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. 1353-53. The open line number. We've got a massive game in the National Basketball League this afternoon. It's the Sydney Kings now sit atop the table. They are now favourites at tab.com.au to win the competition. Can they continue their winning run? Let's find out. We've got our expert on the line, Brad Rosen, the former Sydney Kings captain. Hello, Bradley.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, we're excited about this game.
So you should be.
Right, expectations. Can they maintain the rage, the Sydney Kings?
Oh, look, it's going to be an absolute beauty of a game. They're on a beautiful winning streak. They've taken care of Perth. They've taken care of the ones they needed to. And now they come up against the big dog. Mm. The defending champions are here in town and they are ready to take on the Sydney Kings. Both teams are at full strength, or at least I'm led to believe that.
Right, yep.
And it is going to be a ripper game. They're saying that this could be a record crowd out at Qdos Bank Arena today. Oh, gives me goosebumps.
It does, yeah. Hey, Brad, if the Kings are going to keep winning, how do they beat Melbourne this afternoon?
So I've been saying this on the show for weeks. They've got to keep them 20 points a quarter. So the way the Kings have been doing it, they have been dominating on the defensive end. That's been done by Bogut anchoring it in the base. Mm. So with the centre man, he just knows, anyone knows that if they come inside now, Bogut's going to be there. So that enables the point guards, as in Jerome Randall, Kevin Lish and Brad Newley on the wings, they can play really hard defence. And that's good when you know you've got a big fella behind you. So what they do now is they've just got to keep them to 20 or 22 points a quarter. What that means is that will be 80 a game. If they can keep the team to 80, the Kings have more than enough power to get more than 80 points to win it.
Chris Goulding playing. Was he playing in that last time that the Sydney Kings played against Melbourne United?
No,
I think he was missing, wasn't he?
He did. If it was a few minutes, but yes, he hurt his knee in Perth, and he was. Well, let's just say he wasn't at full strength. He is now, so he will definitely be playing today. Wes here, Josh Boone's here, Dave Barlow's here. Like they're all here, and it's going to be an absolute beauty of a game. Make sure you tune in at 2:30. Well, 2:50's tip off, but 2:30 on the TV, and that will be great.
Okay, $1.60 to Sydney Kings, $2.35 to Melbourne United, $1.80 for the line at minus 2.5. What do you like there, Brad?
Yeah, I like the Kings to win it. I like the Kings to win it. I think, you know, any of those will be fine. I just think they've got so much more to play for today. And the reason I say that is they haven't beaten Melbourne. You know, they've been down to Melbourne twice this season and lost. They took care of Cairns on Friday night and did a good job in doing so. And I just think this could be the game where they turn around and go, right, we are here and we've got to knock the big dog off. And that's how they've got to do it.
All right. Was reading during the course of the week, Matty Logue is the basketball writer for the Daily Telegraph. He was talking about the increase in ticket sales and increase in TV numbers, the increase in numbers live. I think the quote from Paul Kind, who's the interim CEO out there, if a certain number turns up today, that they go past the total number of tickets sold last year already.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is just fantastic for the league.
Two words for you, bogus factor.
I was going to say, 100%. Do we put it all down to the big man in the violet?
If you don't at least put 90% of it down.
Right.
Look, it's just what he's done to this team. I mean, he has just been able to turn the team around. Number one, I love his accountability for people that are watching it on TV or even if you're out there lucky enough to watch the game. Watch the way he keeps his players honest. Sometimes he even yells at them, and that's fine. He doesn't mind that, and the players don't mind that because they know it's all accountability. Yes, he is the reason, in my opinion, they have turned this season around. He has been phenomenal. I think Andrew Gaze is coaching brilliantly with his substitutions. I like Daniel Kickett coming off the bench. I just think this team is so good. A couple other numbers for you. We've already had 9 overtimes this season already in the first half. 11 was the most ever. So we're already close to that.
Right.
A winning margin across the board is under 10. That's the average winning margin. Just shows you how close it is.
Exactly, yeah. Shows the competitiveness of the league.
TV rights are up. Crowds are up.
Yeah.
Ratings are up. Everyone's writing and talking about it. This season is just going from better to better. And just anything the NBL at the moment just turned to gold. It's brilliant.
Exactly. Another game this afternoon, Brad. Illawarra are at home against Perth. You dare say Perth looking to get back into winning form here.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm actually calling that one for Fox today, so I'll be down there, and I'm really looking forward to that because Perth are going through a slump, and a couple of their players are really struggling, and they've lost 4 in a row now, which is very un-Perth-like. Illawarra did not play well the other night in New Zealand, so they're going to come back home and hopefully get a win. Look, they were my roughie for the week, Illawarra. I just don't know about Perth, but in theory, and if everything goes to plan the way it should do, Perth should take care of business today pretty easily.
Okay, they're outsiders too. Illawarra, $2.20 for that one. Perth, $1.67. I see where Paddy Mills has been very prominent talking about Indigenous round next year for the NBL. Off
so
the top of my head,
Gaze, yeah.
Can't think of which team it was that had it.
Yeah, it was Illawarra.
Illawarra, right. Yes. I can't believe that the league, it's not the domain of just the NRL and just the AFL. I can't believe that the league didn't have an Indigenous round to begin with.
Yeah, look, I mean, just all I can say is, and you know, knowing and being part of the league, there is just so many things this league has done. A couple of seasons ago, we didn't have a league. So it's like, where do you start?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
So I totally understand where that's come from. And I think it's fantastic what Illawarra have done. Paddy Mills came out, he was wearing Illawarra singlet. The singlet looked fantastic. And now to be able to turn that around, they did a great job. I'll give the NBL credit. Jeremy Lohlinger has come out this week and said, we love it. We're having it from now on. So I think it's fantastic. I do agree that you could say, why hasn't it been done? It's just, where do you start? You know, there's so many things that this league, you know, we're on our feet before, you know, Larry Kesselman and you know, Jeremy Lohlinger and Andy Cook and all these guys came in and took over the league. We nearly didn't have one.
Sure.
In 5 seasons, we've got 10 guys in the NBL. The league is flourishing. We're on national TV. You know, Channel 9 have got it. It's just brilliant. So, I mean, for what it is unbelievable. And it's only getting better and better.
Exactly. Just a quick one, Brad. Andrew Gaze was vocal about the Indigenous round. He was also vocal about cameras in the coaches' huddle during the games. What's your view on that?
Look, it's so hard because I see both sides.
Yep.
I see, you know, for the coaches, and you know, I was a coach too, and I was an assistant to Brian Gorgian in the heydays of the Kings. So it's very hard because emotions come out, and you say what you want to say. But this is also one of the things that our sport can attract when you're watching this from the viewers at home. There's no other sport that does it. To be able to go into that inner sanctum and listen to what's going on right live in emotion and everything, I think it's amazing. And look, I'm all for it being able to go in the timeouts because I just think people at home get to hear from what Andrew Gaze is saying.
Yeah.
You know, Like, that's so rare. Yep. And what Trevor Gleeson and Rob Beveridge and all these, like, what they're physically saying to the team. And, you know, I was watching last week, and the Adelaide coach, Joey Wright, just ripped into one of his players. Now, I sit there and go, I love that. You don't hear that anymore. That's raw emotion. But also I understand that some words can be said that, you know, isn't really, you know, Father Christmas. So I get what it is. It's a difficult one, but at this stage I'm hearing it's here to stay, and I do love it for the viewers.
Oh, I reckon the viewers love it as well. Good on you, Brad. Enjoy today. Enjoy calling that game, and let's hope we get the right result out there with the Kings and Melbourne United. Go on, give us
thanks, mate. I appreciate another great year, and Merry Christmas to everyone out there in the families. And go those Kings.
There it is. Merry Christmas to you, Brad, and all the family. Brad Rosen there, our basketball expert. Just before we go to the news, got callers on the line there. Lots of people wanting to have their say. By the way, tried to pick up some Wingman beer from the Celebrations Bottle Shop in Tamworth this week. Sold out. Where can I grab some before Christmas? That's from Parramatta.
Not surprised. It's a good drop.
I got hold of Earl from Wingman, and he said Celebration. So if you can't get it there, you can't get it anywhere, I'm afraid. Sorry about that, unless you go for the back of Ray's car. Hello, Brett.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brett.
How are you going?
Terrific.
Really
what
well,
you got
mate?
For
what
us,
you
mate?
For us?
I'd like to go back to the NRL Grand Final night.
Mm-hmm.
And James Bracey interviews Todd Greenberg, and it's all... You know, what a great season, right? How close the final series was, blah, blah, blah. No mention of the fact that they didn't bother getting briefing a new league council and what have you in the week leading up to the grand final. And then he announced...